Radio free readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
The American Redoubt. I am John Jacob Schmidt, your host, and this is episode 15-16 here at Radio Free Redoubt. Thank you for joining us. I hope you had a blessed week. I hope you're having a great weekend, and we are just winding the weekend down now with our weekly ritual, Radio Free Redoubt. Don't forget, you can join us at facebook.com/radiofreeredoubt, where we try to bring you stories and updates throughout the week, every day, and several times a day, even. Today is May 17th, which means tomorrow is what? Do you remember? Do you remember what happened on May 18th, 1980? I do, like it was yesterday. I remember every detail. That, on that day, at 8:32 a.m., I was awoken by a rumbling, shaking, 80 miles, 70 miles away, Mount St. Helens had erupted. And after 2 days of darkness, when the ash finally cleared and settled, it looked like the surface of the moon. That was my first experience with a real-world major disaster. And we were grid up, though. We did not lose electricity or phone or anything like that. But we didn't have squat for food stored up. So after another day or so, we decided to venture into town, destroying the Jeep engine in the process, sucking in all that fine talcum powder ash. Got to the store, and it was wiped out, just like you see on the news, just like you see on, you know, prepper sites, the empty store shelves. Yeah, there's a couple boxes of milk bones. There's a can of canned pineapple. There's some baby wipes. There's, you know, I mean, there's hardly anything. It was just wiped out. There was 1 dozen eggs left, and we got like a can of tuna, and I can't remember what else. Pretty much there wasn't anything left. And I dropped the very last dozen eggs in 6 inches of ash, crushing about probably a third of the eggs. Oh, my dad was mad. Who? So that was a pretty interesting story. And tomorrow's the 35th anniversary. I think it's 35 years. 35-year anniversary. Yesterday, if you joined us on KTW 6:30 a.m., we interviewed codenamed Tango 05 to get his testimony about relocating to the American Redoubt. It is really great to hear these stories from you guys, but I decided to start sharing these, and we've got interviews lined up. Probably once every few weeks, we are going to interview someone who has fled occupied territory, who's come to the American Redoubt to get their experiences and let them share their experiences and get their perspectives and share those with those of you who are prayerfully considering maybe if it's the right move for you to strategically relocate, given the times that we're in. And, well, you're not alone. There's a lot of other folks that are in the process of relocating right now. Many of them have come here, and many of them are, or many of you, are on your way or just considering it to see if it's right for you. So you can go back and listen to that. We're going to try to do that at least once a month. MarbleCountry.com. Go check that out, because if you want to be around like-minded, God-fearing patriots, July 3rd through the 5th, you don't want to miss it. There's going to be some great speakers lined up, some great events, some workshops, and a great time just to be around other folks that are like you, that are striving toward being self-reliant. Just a great time. And also, if you get your tickets, they got an early bird special. By June 10th, you'll get a 20% discount on your registration and your camping fees. So go to Marble Country, marblecountry.com. And let's see here. Oh, what else? That's it. Let's get into the news and commentary. News and commentary is brought to you by Glenn Tate and the 299 Days 10 book series about the collapse and the rebuilding. The team was in Central Washington training and playing this weekend. And good to see them out and about. I mean, I didn't personally see them, but I was in contact with some Ameron operators that were with the guys. And hey, hope you guys had a good, safe weekend. Good training. Good stuff. So the news. And hold on to your seats. Fasten your seatbelts, because we're going to fly tonight, because there's so much information. It's probably going to be, well, this will definitely be part one of at least two, maybe three part series on the underground and resistance. And we're going to lay the foundation for that tonight, which we've kind of been doing over the last, the last month or so, talking about this, kind of easing you into it. But we're actually going to start talking about some of this, some of the meat and potatoes here, but we are going to start building the framework for it. So into the news, TheNewAmerican.com ran a story that Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, Republican, Kentucky, on May 14th introduced a bill that would extend until July 31st. So more pervasive surveillance without a warrant or without the due process. Basically, the Constitution is suspended, if they wish. And they're not going to make any changes to it either, whatsoever. It's going to be just, it's supposed to sunset. It's supposed to die. But no, we're going to keep it alive just a little bit longer, you know, July 31st at least. Why July 31st? Why not June 30th? Why not August 30th? Why July 31st? So, maybe it has something to do with all those UN. Hey, I don't get all spun up over military vehicles on rails, because that's how our military moves our military equipment all over the country. But Birmingham, Alabama just got another video. United Nations specifically marked UN Humvees, armored vehicles. I'm starting to get more and more of these. I mean, images, video, indisputable proof, evidence of UN military vehicles, and the Humvees marked specifically military police. The latest one that I just received was Birmingham, Alabama. If you see something, say something. I don't get too spun up over the Jade Helm thing, because we're talking about special forces here. And I know the special forces community. I know where their hearts are at. They're not the right guys to be rounding up patriots on an A list, B list, red list, blue list. Wrong guys. I'll tell you that right now. But I will say this. You can really screw things up for the rest of us, because we want to remind them that they are patriots. We are patriots, our fellow countrymen. And these guys have no intentions. I know, I've heard from them. And I've seen also other letters passed on to me where these guys' heads are at. Their heads are in the right place. But then we've get these, like, some militia commander, somebody from somewhere, I don't even know where. I'd have to go back and dig it up. But somebody forwarded this and check this out. So some self-appointed militia commander guy writes an open letter to the special forces at Fort Bragg, sends it to Fort Bragg, warning them of the upheaval they will be unleashing on themselves if they start rounding up Americans and martial law and everything else. Warning them that they will carry out actions against our guys in special forces. Dumbass. You know, there's, if you want to make somebody want a piece of you who didn't before, but now you just made them kind of want to have an opportunity to just pop you like a pimple, that's a good way to do it. That's not reminding them that we're on the same team, reminding them of their oath, praying for those guys that they'll have wisdom and discernment so that they will not follow illegal orders if they are given them, and to give them the courage to stand up and say, I will not follow those orders. I will not violate the Constitution or my oath and round people up, violating the Constitution. But you start challenging them, I'm giving you a warning, boy. You come for us, you're going to get a whooping. Way to go. Way to make them just want to kick your butt. Think, guys. Don't be putting out warnings about what's going to happen. That's not going to impress them. Not one bit. It's just an annoyance, if nothing else. But they're going to squash you like a bug. You're not a threat to them. They're not shaking in their boots because of your letter. Hearts and minds, people. Hearts and minds. Sheesh. Okay, I got totally off track. That wasn't even in my notes. All right. YahooNews.com. The head of the nonprofit group that oversees the world's internet addresses expressed confidence Thursday that it would be privatized and out of U.S. government control by year's end. And, of course, there was a lot of criticism that came from the U.S. Congress over that. Some lawmakers have resisted the plan to end Washington's key management role in the Internet Corporation for assigned names and numbers. That's called ICANN, I-C-A-N-N. I'll bet. They don't want to relinquish control of that. Of course, that's why that's why the Department of Homeland Security now, with Jeff Johnson giving his big speech there in Silicon Valley, pleading with these technology companies to partner with them because of this pesky encryption problem that they can't read our emails. And so they're asking these technology corporations to help partner with DHS. And I'm sure they're going to have all kinds of incentives, all kinds of arm twisting going on. Obama, he just ripped on Fox this week. He says, we're going to have to change how our body politic thinks, which means we're going to have to change how the media reports on these issues. Because if you're not toeing the line and you're not printing the Pravda, somebody said, what is Pravda? I heard you mention that a couple times. Call it the Coeur d'Alene Pravda and the Socialist Review. The Socialist Review, that's pretty much self-explanatory. This is the Spokesman Review in Spokane. Well, in Coeur d'Alene, because I get folks sending me high-density patriots in those areas, and they send me these articles and links to the Coeur d'Alene Press and the Spokesman Review and the Kalispell Tribune and, you know, these different papers. But see, the Coeur d'Alene Press is on such a left-wing mission. It is so painfully obvious. I call them the Coeur d'Alene Pravda. Now, during the Soviet Union era, the state-ran newspaper was called Pravda, which means in Russian, truth. It was called the truth, and it was anything but the truth. They called themselves truth, but it was all lies. It was all propaganda. It was all indoctrination. It was all state-controlled communist propaganda. And so that's what Pravda is. So that's why I call the Coeur d'Alene Pravda, because they call themselves the most trusted news in North Idaho. And like I said before, sadly enough, it is the most trusted. That's why they should be held that much more high to a higher account, because they are misleading and deceiving people, which I'm going to talk about when we come back right after the break. There's a big shootout in Waco between two biker gangs and police. Now 9 people are dead, at least. More people wounded. They don't have the numbers of the people wounded yet. Yeah, that was in a restaurant that spilled out into the parking lot. That's not a time. That's a time to be a gray man. Remember why I say go armed everywhere? Okay. If you find yourself in that kind of a situation where you've got a showdown between police and two biker gangs and guns come out, bullets start flying, do not engage. Do not get your weapon out. You crawl under the table. You crawl under the floor. You crawl under the tiles. You get your family out the back door, through the kitchen, whatever. You take cover. So, hey, it's like I've said before, you've got to let the tactical situation dictate your course of action, right? That tactical situation is not favorable for you to be getting involved. You'd be ready to shoot your way out of there if you have to protect yourself and your family. But man, don't get involved in that. That's not a active shooter, gunman on rampage type situation. That's a whole different, it's a whole ball game there. Spokesman, Socialist Review, reporting that a board approved raises for Washington state lawmakers. That's all they need, because they're already up to, what, $47,000 a year for a part-time job? And we should be charging them for the liberty-stripping legislation they're continuously pushing through. Man, at a time when they raise the gas taxes on all the people, then they go, oh, look at the surplus, give ourselves a raise. The duplicity. States with the most licensed gun dealers. This is from firearmdealers.gearsuite.com. 3 of the top 5 most gun licensed gun dealer states are in the American Redoubt. Idaho came in at number 5. Number 4 was South Dakota. Number 3, Alaska. And then the top 2, Montana, came in at number 2, and Wyoming, number 1. This is the Voice of the American Redoubt, Fox 519, and The Eye on the Economy, and then we'll be back in a minute.
Fellow Redoubters, are you ready to live under the thumb of a One World Trade Organization? No? Well, you just might be out of luck, because Congress just voted for the President to have fast-track powers for the Trans-Pacific Partnership. This week brought some big signs that economics as we know it is about to change. This is Sunday, May 17th, 2015, and I am Fox 519, bringing you the news that matters to your pocketbook as patriots and preppers. This is Eye on the Economy, brought to you by Radio Free Redoubt.
When disaster strikes, it's too late to prepare. PrepperRecon.com offers MOLLE-compatible individual first aid kits for your home, auto, or bug-out bag. These kits have everything you need to address a traumatic injury, including an Israeli battle dressing, quick clot, EMT shears, suture kit, Steri-Strips, tourniquet, ACS chest seal, tough strip bandages, gauze, and so much more. Kits are available in OD Green, Coyote, Black, and ACU. $89 include shipping. To buy your individual first aid kit, go to PrepperRecon.com and click the store tab at the top of the homepage. Order today before it's too late.
Welcome back. The TPP, or Trans-Pacific Partnership, is a new term for an old idea that allows for broad sweeping powers to the UN on trade and commerce, and that spells out bad things for economics here in America. On Thursday of this week, in a 65-33 vote, the Senate finally advanced a measure allowing Obama to expedite approval of those trade agreements. Bloomberg reported in a fast-track bill would allow Obama to submit the trade agreements to Congress in an up or down vote without any amendments. He hopes to complete a 12-nation Trans-Pacific Partnership and Senate for fast-track approval soon. As some news agencies have reported, a small but weak rebellion took place on Tuesday among Senate Democrats seeking currency provision previews. That signaled that there may be a fiercer battle ahead between Democrats and House Speaker John Boehner. Quote, "There is a broad feeling that we have to do something against China on currency manipulation," said New York Senator Charles Schumer. Schumer is the chamber's third-ranking Democrat. Schumer also called the TPP measure, quote, "a shot across China's bow that we're just not going to sit here and do nothing." The TPP is a horrific attempt for Obama to push a trade organization that will stifle American industrial production and will virtually eliminate domestic laws that govern trade at a state level. But will it be enough to scare China, fellow Redoubters? No. And I'll tell you why in a related story. As many of you listeners know, I have always said that if the Chinese yuan is given world reserve currency status, it'll mean the end of the dollar. Well, that moment is getting seriously close. In another article on Bloomberg this week, and I promise you I don't get all my news from Bloomberg, China has made another step towards becoming a world reserve currency. On the 14th, People's Bank of China called for the IMF to include the yuan in the reserve currency basket. Now, that consists of the dollar, the euro, the pound, and the yen. And they're asking to do the same in a review later this year. An inclusion could spur as much as 6.2 trillion yuan, or 999 billion, of net purchases of China's onshore bonds. China is making the yuan more freely usable in order to be included in the IMF's special drawing rights basket. Recently, the yuan reclaimed fifth place in the global payments this March, according to the SWIFT Society. The dollar right now has 49.9% weighting in the SDR basket. The euro has 37.4, and the pound has 11.3, and the yen currently is 9.4%. The yuan could get a potential weighting of about 13%, according to an estimate by Bank of America, HSBC. Both have said they could be at 14%, reflecting China's importance in global exports. Mainstream economists have surmised that if the yuan is included in the SDR, that it, quote, would have likely significant market impact, driving an immediate sharp increase in the global diversification of renminbi assets. In simple terms, everyone, it would be a dollar killer. No, and I'll take this a step further. What happens when right before the approval is given to add the yuan, it is announced that it is now backed by gold? That 14 per share bonds in yuan that economists are predicting, it will skyrocket as bonds in American dollars are sold by the thousands as investors flood into renminbi bonds. When that happens, what do you think economics will look like here in America? The results will be coming later this year, and it will not be pretty. Steel yourself, fellow patriots. The winds of change are blowing. Well, thanks again for listening this week. And for Eye on the Economy and Radio Free Readout, this is Fox 519 signing off. God bless.
Thank you, Fox 519, for that. Very much appreciate your hard work and keeping us informed. He also does a little one-minute bite, a little Eye on the Economy soundbite, 60-second one on Saturdays on KTW 630. Segment two is brought to you by LoadedPantsHanger.com. They have the mechanism for you to hide your guns in plain sight by keeping them available and ready, but hidden. And also, don't forget, it's past Mother's Day now. However, 2 weeks out from Father's Day, they will be offering a 30% discount starting 2 weeks out from Father's Day. 30% discount on all of their online store items. If you use the coupon code MOMDAD, M-O-M-D-A-D, MOMDAD, all one word, because they ran that during Mother's Day as well. As you know, they've got hundreds of homes planned for rural Kootenai County, and the final Board of County Commissioners showdown meeting, chance for you to make your voice known and heard and your face seen, is coming up this week, May 21st. That will be Thursday at 6 p.m. at North Idaho College, Boswell Hall. Fill it up, Patriots, because they are talking about bringing in high density, low income, which is going to mean Section 8 homes at a time when all of these refugee relocation outfits are going to be looking for places to put them. Do you want Muslim refugees being placed in your county? Okay, I don't think it's a family show, so I will just say no, right? Or anywhere in the American redoubt. They are trying to fundamentally transform America, and they're not happy with you leaving liberal cesspools. And they're not happy that there are conservative pockets around the country. They're trying to, well, destroy those from within. So, and they want you to wear red. Everybody wear red. These are really well organized too. And you want to show support. They're going to see something's up here. Everybody opposed to this wearing red. So last time it was green. Everyone had green hats, green banners. It showed solidarity. It was actually really impressive. Go to CedarMountainAssociation.com. CedarMountainAssociation.com. We'll put the link up there on the highlights and resources posting for you. Also, this situation going on with what was formerly Senate Bill 1067, they've changed it now. It's House Bill 1, HB 1. The governor, in his temper tantrum, is forcing the legislature to reconvene for a special session. I shot out an email There's a posting there. It's a big green banner that says SB 1067 with a question mark. There is documentation after documentation showing you the exposing this system for what it is. It's not about children. It's not about saving children, which is what they're trying to get you to believe. That's a lie. And I'm going to talk about that here in just a minute. I updated that page with these additional resources coming in from Representative Heather Scott, Senator Mary Souza, and also I just got word from a listener, Senator Nuxall is also weighing in on this. They are rolling up their sleeves and they're ready for a fight. The problem is, so many of the legislators are being duped because they're being told these amendments protect Idaho sovereignty, so it's okay for you to vote for it now. But it's a lie. They don't do these amendments to this bill, do not do what they're claiming it does. This subjects Idaho law to foreign bodies, pseudo-judicial, quasi-judicial systems, and foreign legislative bodies can overrule Idaho law. I mean, it's not saying it will, but it's leaving the door way wide open for the possibility of it. And these guys are saying, no, we don't even want to take the risk. We are going to anticipate what could happen in the future if we don't close this off. And we're going to slam the door on this if you don't make the appropriate changes. And they're claiming that they are, but they're not. And some of the legislators are being duped into thinking that these measures, these amendments, will actually protect Idaho sovereignty when that's not the case. And many of them, so write your senators and write your representatives. I also included the list in that. All you got to do is copy and paste it into your blind carbon copy, your BCC, and email all these folks and tell them to vote no on HB1. They changed it. I just found out today they changed it. It's now HB1. Tell them no. Even if you're considering moving to the American Redoubt and you're not here yet, you need to protect the American Redoubt so there's something for you to come to that's still intact. That's not overwritten. This will be unprecedented. There's no other law that has, by treaty, bound a state, especially the state of Idaho, to an international treaty. This is unprecedented, the way this is being done. And it will open the door for other agendas that they want to push in the future. Now, let me talk about something here. There was speaking of the Coeur d'Alene Pravda pushing a left agenda, it is so obvious. The group of so-called human rights people, they've got this other parallel group. What do they call themselves? Well, the Friends of Coeur d'Alene Public Library. And what's the other one? I'm going to find it. I got to find it. It's in here somewhere. Okay, I'm gonna blow this open. I'm going to just shred this so-called doctor's arguments. It's not human rights. It's the humanities. Idaho. Okay. He appeared as a guest of the Idaho Humanities Council and the Friends of the Library, which is the same people that are in the human rights groups. And they're all running the same circles. They're all leftists. They're all communists. They're all anti-Americanists. They're the ones that were trying to force this legislation through and this ordinance through to force a pastor to marry a homosexual couple. These are the kind of ilk, right? So they bring in this expert, doctor, expert. He's in the Coeur d'Alene Press. I'm going to put the link up there. Adler is his name, addresses the Second Amendment. Oh, pray tell, what do you have to say about the Second Amendment? This guy's he's a so-called constitutional expert. He actually spoke to 100 people that turned out. Of course, unfortunately for him, 50 of them, over half of them were pro-gun people that wanted to hear what kind of poison this guy was flinging around. So, folks were packing heat Friday night at the Coeur d'Alene Public Library, but no lead flew when Dr. David Adler took aim, I love the little puns, at some views on gun rights. He spoke for an hour about the Second Amendment to 100 people in the library's community room, appearing as a guest of the Idaho Humanities Council. Very cultured, sensible people, and the friends of the library. And he said, it's a myth that the Second Amendment right to bear arms is absolute. All of the discussions and the debates in the first Congress that wrote the Second Amendment as part of the entire Bill of Rights had to do with the military questions, Adler said, not with an asserted personal right of defense, not with an individual right to keep and bear arms. This is him talking, this doctor. He's supposedly a constitutional expert. Adler, who is president of the Sun Valley, that's in Southern Idaho, Institute, a nonprofit organization, which means parasites, focusing on civic education and dialogue, which means indoctrination. He also is an expert on the Constitution and the office of the president. And he says, talk of government instituting gun control can whip up public anger, and it's also a good way for some candidates to raise campaign contributions and for organizations like the National Rifle Association to gain support. Here comes the demonizing. Adler said the NRA has for years put forward the idea that there is a constitutional right to own guns as a means of protecting American citizens from tyrannical government. They're right. He says, this right to protect citizens from their government through firepower is a myth, Adler said. Really, ask the... I think the Founding Fathers would argue with you there, doctor. He says, no constitution contains the seeds of its own destruction, Adler said. False. Adler, you're a liar. You're a deceiver, and you're a liar. You're spreading misinformation. I'm convinced, write this down, this is a John Jacob Schmitt quote. I'm convinced that one of the biggest threats to Americanism are those pushers of leftist anti-American ideologies and who attempt to qualify their deceit and lies as authoritative by proclaiming themselves to be so-called constitutional experts. All that means to me is they've committed themselves to studying the Constitution only to learn how they can dismantle it. The unfortunate truth for them is that the Constitution was written for a layman, even a child, to understand it. And you know something else, too? Whenever the left brings in someone, they're an expert. Whenever the conservatives, whenever the right brings someone, it's a speaker. The Republicans brought in a speaker, but the Democrats brought in an expert. Little play on words. They're masters at it. Communists are masters at word crafting. So if you want to find out what they really meant by it, doctor, you go and you discover what the spirit and intent was of the authors, the founders, those who were there. Now, I'm almost reticent to use quotes from the American Founding Fathers because that was, they're old, they're dead, they're gone. So it doesn't really matter. You know what? In a way, that's kind of true. What kind of an America do you want? I want a free America built on the principles that they laid down for us. But you know what? It's not even, you can sit there and blow apart George Washington's statements, and you can sit there and poke holes in Thomas Jefferson's philosophies. But you know what? I don't really care what Thomas Jefferson said. I say I want to be free. I say that the most effectual means of preserving peace is to have a well-armed citizenry with the weapons capable of fending off a tyrannous government should they turn on their own people. That's what I say. Now, fortunately, if you really want to look at the spirit and intent of the Constitution, look at the founders, the framers, and the authors. So, let's take a look at some of these. I ask, sir, what is the militia? It is the whole people except for a few politicians. George Mason, he was the co-author of the Second Amendment. A militia, when properly formed, are in fact the people themselves. Richard Henry Lee. Samuel Adams said, and that and that the said Constitution be never construed to authorize Congress to infringe the just liberty of the press or the rights of the conscience, or to prevent the people of the United States who are peaceable citizens from keeping their own arms. George Washington said, firearms stand next in importance to the Constitution itself. They are the American people's liberty teeth and keystone under independence. Patrick Henry said, we are at last brought to such humiliating and debasing degradation that we cannot be trusted with arms for our defense? Where is the difference between having our arms in possession and under our direction, and having them under the management of Congress? If our defense be the real object of having these arms, in whose hands they can be trusted with more propriety or equal safety to us, as in our own hands. Alexander Hamilton said, the best we can hope for concerning the people at large is that they be properly armed. What's properly armed? That means that they have the weapons of the day to be able to withstand a military force that is being used as an instrument of a tyrant. Thomas Jefferson said, I prefer dangerous freedom over peaceful slavery. George Mason said, to disarm the people is the most effectual way to enslave them. Noah Webster said, before a standing army can rule, the people must be disarmed, as they are in almost every country in Europe. James Madison, Americans have the right and advantage of being armed, unlike the people of other countries whose leaders are afraid to trust them with arms. Benjamin Franklin, those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. George Washington said, a free people ought to be armed. Thomas Jefferson, no free man shall ever be debarred the use of arms. George Washington again, the very atmosphere of firearms anywhere restrains evil interference. They deserve a place of honor with all that is good. Let me take the extrapolated, the extended version of that. Firearms stand next in importance to the Constitution itself. They are the American people's liberty teeth and the keystone under independence. From the hour the pilgrims landed to the present day, events, occurrences, and tendencies prove that to ensure peace, security, and happiness, the rifle and the pistol are equally indispensable. The very atmosphere of firearms anywhere restrains evil interference. They deserve a place of honor with all that is good. Richard Henry Lee said, to preserve liberty, it is essential that the whole body of the people always possess arms and be taught alike, especially when young, how to use them. Patrick Henry said, the great object is that every man be armed, and everyone who is able may have a gun. Thomas Jefferson again said, the greatest danger to American freedom is a government that ignores the Constitution. This is not about tyrannous governments. Noah Webster said, there are men in all ages who mean to govern well, but they do mean to govern. They promise to be good masters, but they mean to be masters. Edmund Burke said, the people never give up their liberties but under some delusion, like firearms ownership was never meant to be for people to defend themselves. Thomas Jefferson said, what country can preserve its liberties if their rulers are not warned from time to time that their people preserve the spirit of resistance? Let them take arms. You, doctor, are a deceiver and a liar. And you claim to be a constitutional expert, which means you know the lies that you're telling. Because if you are truly a constitutional expert, part of your training guides you through the process of researching and discovering the intent and the spirit in which each component of our Constitution was written. You're a liar, and you're on the naughty list. I'm John Jacob Schmidt. We'll be back in a minute.
Hi, Hi, I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's great redoubt, North Idaho. Every day, I sell homes and land to bankers, doctors, economists, scientists, military folks, and more for good reason. They all know what's coming and want to secure safety and peace for their family. They've done the research and discovered that North Idaho's superior environment, food insecurity, surrounded by more like-minded patriots than anywhere in America. At www.revrealty.us, you can read stories about North Idaho's weather, spring development, growing food, solar, and alternative energy. Additionally, every article has a beautiful quote from the brilliant mind of Thomas Jefferson. We also give you free access to our listings, so feel free to browse our inventory or fill out our short form, and we'll do the searching for you. Call a revolutionary today at 208-667-1776 or visit us online at revrealty.us. That's www.revrealty.us. And God bless you.
This is Shan Hemphill with Works LLC. We provide lifetime guaranteed holsters and magazine carriers for the armed citizen. Check us out at werkz.com or call 855-WORKS-01 for your custom gear needs. Don't forget to use coupon RFR at checkout for 15% off. Thank you, and God bless.
The communists set out to brainwash the people, to destroy their will to freedom, to wipe out their religion and culture. Newspapers were filled with lies and distortions, and still are. Anti-Western and anti-American.
Whatever happened to the fear of God? Whatever happened to church on Sunday? Whatever happened to the velvet glove and the iron fist?
Okay, we're back going into segment three. We're going into segment three here, and you know what? We have some timely issues going on here. I think I'm going to change things up just a bit here. If you would indulge me, because I want to dedicate the entire show when I get into resistance and the underground, because I have a lot of notes and I have a lot of stuff that I want to go over. But I can see right now the information that we have to start exposing that with what I still have. This is a very timely issue that's coming up this week. This HB1, it will set such a precedence that it opens up Idaho law. All the states are faced with this. You understand that, right? What, 19 or 20 states now have approved this equivalent to this, what's the name of this bill? Protect the Children bill, which is just a lie. It's a lie. It's deceiving. Let me just get into this. Okay, first of all, the left-wing press is going full court press here. They are political paranoia is the name of their article. Political paranoia. This is how they are starting in major headlines. There's another one up here. Legislature, child support special session starts Monday. They're calling it a child support special session. And anybody who votes against it are voting against children, they claim. But here's the thing. Before this bill ever came along, we had all the mechanisms in place to provide for pursuing child support arrangements, even internationally. Just like I spoke with this judge who works in family law, and I asked her, this new child support anti-trafficking bill, does this give you any more authority or powers than you had before this bill came along? She said, no, absolutely none. It changes nothing. All it changes is that if you don't vote for this particular bill, we're pulling your funding. So the federal government is coercing the states by threatening them, blackmailing them. We are going to pull your funding if you don't approve this bill. Why do we need this bill so bad? In fact, when Idaho, when the legislators took a look at this bill and said, this is wrong. We're not comfortable with this, and there's not enough time before session ends for us to learn enough about this because you dropped this in our laps at the last minute. Even though they said they didn't do that, which is a lie, they said, we don't have enough time to say that we understand this well enough. There's some things that raise concerns that we could be subjecting Idaho citizens to foreign laws that could overrule Idaho law. They said, we can't vote on that at this time, not until we learn more or put some safeguards in place to protect Idaho sovereignty. What? They went ballistic. The left went ballistic. The people on the right strengthened their resolve. The patriots, the conservatives, they said, no, there's something wrong here. And in fact, by the way the left is reacting, this is even raising more red flags. So the answer is heck no. So every day, the proven left-wing rag of the Coeur d'Alene Pravda and the Socialist Review have been pulling all the stops to try to sway the masses using yellow journalism. Half-truths mixed with lies, mixed with deception, mixed with just enough truth to make you think that they're bringing you everything. This guy here wrote this story called Political Paranoia. His name is Jeff Sell. He's ran so many left-wing pieces. He says, Harper's Magazine columnist Richard Hofstadter is credited with coining the term paranoid-style politics in a November 1964 article titled The Paranoid Style in American Politics. His column reads like it could have been written this week. American politics has often been an arena for angry minds. In recent years, we have seen angry minds at work mainly among extreme right-wingers, who have now demonstrated in the Goldwater movement how much political leverage can be got out of the animosities and passions of a small minority. But see, what's happening here is the pushers of anti-American ideas are accusing the conservatives of the very same thing that these ilk on the left are actually doing. He's quoting this guy back from this book from 1964 saying that just plays out like today. So he says, oh, here's another one. Brian Ellison, a professor at University of Idaho's Martin School of Political Science, which means political correctness and indoctrination in the globalist system in Moscow, which is in Idaho, not Russia. But maybe these guys think they're in the wrong Moscow. You're in Moscow, not Moscow. You're in Moscow, Idaho. Ah, the light bulb just came on. They're in the wrong Moscow. They were in Moscow. So he said the phenomenon has played itself out in American politics for more than 150 years. So now they're calling this a phenomenon. This strange behavior of conservatives being angry and using fear and paranoia, which is what they are actually doing. See, because if you don't vote for this bill that strips, that basically subjects Idaho sovereignty to the will of another court outside of Idaho law and constitutional law or even American law, well, you're going to be throwing children onto the streets. They use the sneakiest method. It's always the children. How often do they use the children for their agenda? It's kind of weird. This is what he says. And he's basically, he's implying that it's the conservatives doing this. This is so sneaky. Well done. I mean, these are talented propagandists. He says, it's kind of weird. It's kind of a weird deflecting tactic. And it's pretty frightening. He said, well, didn't he just say it's pretty frightening? So isn't he selling paranoia and fear to make his point? It's called the paranoid style of American politics, and it's uniquely American. No, it isn't. This guy's not been around the block. They do this everywhere in the world. They use emotionalism. They use talking bulleted key points. And here he is saying, what we're using is a paranoid style of American politics, while at the same time he's saying this is a deflecting tactic that's frightening. You see how they're doing the exact same thing they're accusing us of? So, in American politics, he said, politicians use the tactic to rile up emotions in people on issues they fear, even if there truly is no reason for paranoia. Huh. So, basically, when we stand against abortion on demand, we're just trying to rile up emotions, right? Even though you're selling your point on by riling up emotions, saying women have rights. You're trying to strip women's rights away. We're trying to say we're trying to save babies. And of course, you're accusing those on the right of selling fear. Remember back when the homosexual movement was, everybody's like, look, eventually they're going to be wanting to get married. They're going to be trying to force their views on, they're like, no, they're not trying to force their views on anybody. They just want to have the same right to do whatever. They just want to not be persecuted for their lifestyle. Well, that's not true. They do want to force their view on other people, just like it was anticipated. But they're saying, you're just selling fear that they're going to be pushing their views on you. That's why you're against homosexuality. That's why you're against abortion or any other topic. Guns. They use the same thing. If it just saves one life, what if it was your kid that was shot with a stray bullet? Wouldn't you want guns off the street? Wouldn't you want your child to be alive? So they use the same fear and paranoia as they're accusing you by saying, I don't want to be disarmed if somebody robs my home and breaks into my home, a home invasion. Oh, you're just selling fear. You're trying to get people to arm themselves based on fear. Interesting, huh? So he goes on. Juliet Carlisle, an assistant professor of political science at the University of Idaho, said that kind of fear-mongering has been used all over the country for years to create an us-against-them situation in politics. It's been going on for years in California against Mexican Americans, she said, adding they scapegoat certain segments of society to inflame political rhetoric. So they're turning the tables, because when conservatives say we have a problem with illegal aliens that are not assimilating becoming Americans, they're saying, oh, you hate Mexican Americans that are trying to make a better life for themselves. No, we're opposed to illegal migration, not legal immigration. So they turn it into another message of hate, intolerance, racism, bigotry, etc. And that's the labels that they put on people who are trying to stop illegal immigration. So she says the Japanese Americans, with them in World War II, we interned them. And they were American citizens. Carlisle said, in a very general sense, paranoia-style politics are used to sideline things that really do matter. Well, the Japanese situation was wrong, and they were legal U.S. citizens, and hopefully we never repeat that again. But that has nothing to do with the illegals here. Anyway. They are priming politicians to think about things negatively, she said. These negative sound bites and emotions are what people respond to, which is exactly what they're doing. They're using negative sound bites and emotions. Like, if we don't pass this law that undermines Idaho sovereignty, the children will be on the streets. And they will have no support, which is not true. But they're saying that they'll have no way to feed the children if the Republicans don't pass this bill, which allows foreign courts to make decisions on Idaho's judicial system and court proceedings. These are liars. These are liars, every one of them. We'll cover more when we get back in just a minute. Did I mean to treat you bad?
but I did anyway. And then maybe some would say your life was saved, yeah, but you lived it anyway.
This is Matt Shea with your daily news commentary, the way I see it. Last week, I, along with many of my Republican colleagues, introduced a series of state sovereignty bills to exempt Washington from participation in a nationalized health care system, in a national cap-and-trade program, and also to protect our right to bear arms through the Washington Firearms Freedom Act. The Democrat response? The Speaker pro tem of the House claimed Republicans wanted to leave the Union. Local Senator Chris Maher even inferred to a group of constituents that Republicans are racist. Next, are they going to say that the Republican Party is a militia? Well, you know you're making gains with a response like that. State sovereignty is about keeping the nation together and fighting Democrat attempts to destroy small business through bigger government. Nationalized health care and a national cap-and-trade program are not going to lead us out of this recession. They're going to further crush our economy. But the bigger point here is that President Barack Obama and Democrats like Senator Chris Maher have created a cloud of fear that is overshadowing this country. Businesses are afraid to build new factories, buy new equipment, or hire new employees because of the uncertainty surrounding what new regulations, mandates, and taxes are going to come out of Washington, D.C. and Olympia. The people are afraid of proposed gun bans and rationing of ammunition, so they're cleaning out store shelves. Fear and anxiety are everywhere. State sovereignty is about hope. If the federal government would just get out of the way and stay in its constitutionally designed box, we would be free to fix our own problems right here in Washington. If we need to fear anything, it's the notion that more socialism is going to solve our economic crisis. Instead, we should look to 2 Chronicles 7:14 for the answer. At least, that's the way I see it. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for listening.
Joe Friday here. The log date was Friday. Mark and his bride took a weekend trip to Las Vegas through a no-gun zone airport. Lefty and Meth Head stole from Mark's castle a Colt 45 and a locked gun rack with all the long arms therein, as well as the jewelry box containing precious metals and gems. Gun safes can be expensive and time-consuming for access. Plain view storage is an invitation for a successful theft. LoadedPantsHanger.com offers easy accessibility and concealment in an unsuspecting garment hanging in the middle of your closet. See our customized handgun caliber hangers at LoadedPantsHanger.com.
We are back with the fourth and final segment, and I had to do a turn in the middle of the show because I'm looking at the material that we've got and the time that we have, and I want to fully dedicate the underground, the resistance, the underground church, the structure for that, for the times that are coming. We're seeing increasing attacks on conservative Christian American ideals and Americanism. They're going to force part of our culture underground if we don't want to compromise and sell out, and if we want to stand true to our beliefs, we want to worship freely, then you're not going to be able to do that openly one day. A lot of things are changing. Lots of things are changing quickly. Anyway, I want to get through this. This will be the last segment here. But we're just talking about how they are accusing the right, the conservatives, and the accusations are actually indictments on themselves because they are pointing out the things that they, in fact, are doing. We're pointing out truth, and they're using fear and paranoia to get you to comply with a globalist, anti-American, anti-sovereign state agenda. And there are plenty of legislators that are on to this. They're on to them and what they're trying to do, and they're going to make a stand because they know the smoke screens. The children and the child support trafficking is all a smoke screen. That is the emotional leverage to get you to back down and stand out, to comply, because they're going to keep Look, the federal government has spent $45 million, reportedly, $45 million to push just on the state of Idaho to get this passed. Why? Right there should raise all kinds of red flags, shouldn't it? When you've got the left pushing an agenda so hard. Now, right now, we're just talking about this 1067 bill. But, oh, yeah, it doesn't affect me. I'm over here. You're over there. This is the Idaho things. Locally, I'm kind of losing interest. Don't lose interest because you know what? These are the tactics that the left is using no matter what the topic is. Matter of fact, they even switch gears here and they start pulling everything into this. On Monday, Idaho will convene a special session to reconsider a bill that one committee refused to consider on a 9-8 vote during a regular session. Some of the legislators cited fears of Sharia law as the reason not to consider the bill, even though experts said that that fear was unfounded. See, once again, it's their experts that are saying that was unfounded. If the legislature fails to pass a bill that would bring Idaho in line with an international treaty on child support, it could dismantle Idaho's entire child support collection system. Did you just read that? Did you just hear what I just read? Here they are saying paranoia and fear is how the extreme right wing is running their narrative on paranoia and fear. But in their own in the same article, they're saying if you don't bring Idaho into line with this international treaty on child support, it could dismantle Idaho's entire child support collection system, which is a lie. It's a lie. And they're using fear and paranoia to get their message across. In North Idaho, Republican groups and organizations are also inviting speakers from around the region to speak on Muslim-related topics, which seems to be fueling the paranoia. So, they're fueling paranoia by bringing in speakers. Now, who is this speaker? Well, there's two of them, actually. The first one is Pastor Sharam Hadian, a former Muslim converted to Christianity. He understands from the inside the mindset and the agenda, the goal, the mission of Islam. But see, he's a speaker because he's supporting the right wing side. So a speaker, Sharam Hadian, former Muslim, now he's a Christian. That's an expert. Even though their experts say the fear is unfounded. What's their expert? Some brainwashed left-wing political science professor calls himself a doctor and probably an expert on the Constitution, too. They're frauds. They're all frauds. Call these things out when you see them. So anyway, he's fueling the paranoia by warning them the same thing that Europe's trying to warn us of for their experiment that didn't work out very well of bringing Islam in. During this region's regional legislative session, regular legislative session, Pastor Hadian, a former Muslim who has converted to Christianity, spoke to a handful of legislators in the state capitol just before child support bill came up for consideration. He warned lawmakers of Muslim plans to create enclaves in Idaho and warned that Sharia law could eventually make its way into Idaho court system. That right there is not fueling paranoia. That right there was a gift from God to send a messenger to warn people about what they were about ready to vote on, and they put the brakes on it. I give God the glory and the credit for bringing that man into the path of those people at the exact right place, at the exact right time, to stop an agenda that would have undermined Idaho's sovereignty and would have opened up the gates for Islam to come into the communities of Idaho and encouraged it. Now, he warned the lawmakers of Muslim plans to create enclaves in Idaho. Is that fueling paranoia? No, because we know that those communities in Twin Falls and Boise are boasting, bragging about bringing Syrian and Congo refugees, almost all of them Muslims, into southern Idaho communities. So he's warning of that, and now he's fueling the fears. What he said is not untrue. They do have plans of building enclaves. This we covered a few weeks ago. This is called cultural jihad. He knows about this. These so-called experts don't know crap about it. They're all working on theoretical, Pollyanna, perfect world type of situation. And you got an expert here saying, look, these people have an agenda. And he's warning them and he's fueling fear. No, he's warning us. He's a watchman on the wall. We need to listen to him and people like him. And more recently, the Kootenai County Reagan Republicans invited Barbara Bell, she's been doing a great job, to speak about plans to bring 300 Muslim refugees from Syria and Congo to the College of Southern Idaho's Refugee Resettlement Center, which are getting paid big bucks to find places to put these refugees. Not Americans, not assimilating. Pastor Hadian has also insinuated that these refugees may be part of a Muslim plan to create enclaves of Muslims in the rural areas of Idaho. He also claims that there may be plans for an enclave near St. Mary's. But Dr. Bill Smith, director of the Martin Institute, is an expert in international studies, said he doesn't understand the recent fears surrounding CSI's refugee center. He doesn't understand the fears because he's getting paid big time through government grants. So no wonder he doesn't understand the fears, because he hasn't been talking to other communities who've had their communities overrun with Muslims that are fundamentally transforming their communities. That's why. He said they resettled 5,000 refugees in the United States. Idaho is known as a very supportive state for refugees. Well, that was before this latest wave of all the refugees coming here are Muslim. When the United Nations, under the directives of this administration, are not bringing any Christian refugees in. He said it takes 1% of the refugees, blah, blah, blah. They're running from the extremists in their country, he said. They are at risk of death. He said unless a refugee has a... Okay, stop right there. He said there's been a big international push to have the U.S. take more Syrian refugees. Yeah, there's been a big push for the U.S. to take Muslims in. Because who are running for their lives and getting hacked to death right now as ISIS is regaining mother ground because the Iraqi military is tucking tail and running. ISIS is taking back over. And they're going back into these areas and they're finding Christian enclaves and they're finding all the women that are breastfeeding and cutting their breasts off. Animals. Savages. We won't take those. And we'll take the Muslims. Yeah, give us the Muslims. We don't want the Christians. None of the people in Idaho chose to come to Idaho. They don't have a big plan to build enclaves. They didn't choose to come here. He said, unless a refugee has a sibling who is already located in Idaho, they do not have the opportunity to choose to come here. So the enclave theory doesn't appear to have much weight. False. It does have much weight because the Muslim Brotherhood is all over inside of this administration who are pushing these agendas. No, maybe the individual refugee doesn't get to choose, but somebody higher up in the government, Muslim Brotherhood, is choosing for them. Look, this is too conservative here. Let's start getting these Muslims here. All we need is 2,000. Then they can bring all their siblings in. By choice, they can bring them in after that. So we'll force them in, we'll bring them in there, and so they can say, well, it's not our choice, we were just assigned here. This is what, we didn't have it. This wasn't part of an evil plan. This is part of an evil plan, whether you accept it or not. You can just ignore it, but guess what? It's going to come to full fruition at some point. When you'll be gone and dead, so who cares? Your children or their children are going to have to deal with it. When they see a 600% increase in rape, when you start seeing Muslim mosques going up all over the place, when you start seeing your country gone, Americanism gone, this is intentional. People are doctrines of demons they're just injecting everywhere. You're not going to be able to run. You can't run from California and come to Idaho because it's conservative here. Get ready to dig in for a fight for your very life, your existence, your culture, everything you value, if you truly value it. So, it seems like there are some who are fear-mongering, like these guys, us away from what we have been able to accomplish in this state. What are you trying to accomplish? Tolerance of everything but Americanism? That's what you're trying to accomplish. And these people are just getting in your way, spreading fear. He says, starting to attract like-minded people to rally around issues and conspiracies to accomplish their political goals. Conspiracies. He sees like-minded political people here. When asked about his anti-gay and anti... Oh, there was a guy. Who was this guy? He came... Oh, a little more than a week ago, Scott Copeland, a presidential candidate for the Constitution Party, toured Idaho and Utah on his 13-state campaign trail. The Texas-based candidate came to Idaho because he sees like-minded political people here. Wow, imagine that. Same reason why so many others are coming here, because they see like-minded political allies here. Well, when asked about his... Now, who would ask this? The media, because they're trying to write the narrative, right? When they asked about his anti-gay and anti-Muslim positions, in other words, his pro-Christian positions, he said he is not engaged in fear-mongering, but rather educating people about how the establishment parties are not dealing with the issues. So they tried ambushing him, cornering him. This guy's a Christian. Okay, let's ask him. Tell us about your anti-Christian or your anti-abortion, anti-homosexual, anti-Islam views. So these people are horrible. They're the worst kind of ilk. And hopefully you can see through some of this stuff. It's just what's sad is the people that are duped by these pushers. These pushers of globalism, leftist ideas who fall for it. That's sad. That's really sad. I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up because I didn't get to my main thing that I wanted to get to. Is so important too. So we're going to cover it and it's going to be even that much better. Worry over Sharia law in Idaho jeopardizes child support. Who's selling fear here? And paranoia. It's the Coeur d'Alene. It's the Pravda. And these guys are from the Associated Press. So they're willing accomplices in the lies. Families across the country could be stuck with the cumbersome existing system after legislators in a single state rejected the deal because they said it could allow Islamic law to influence American courts. That's a pretty good reason to reject it. That's a legitimate reason to reject it. The move by Idaho threatens an effort, more fear wording, involving dozens of nations that set out more than a decade ago. So they've been at this for 10 years. To improve procedures that have made it difficult, sometimes impossible, for parents to get the money. It's been impossible and difficult for an international body to control states' laws. They've been protected. This is going to dismantle that. Worries about the spread of Sharia have surfaced in several states in recent years. That's because they are trying to spread Sharia. Hello? Often resulting in proposals to restrict the use of foreign law in state courts. Often resulting in proposals to restrict the use of foreign law in state courts. It should be restricted. It should be banned. No use of foreign laws in state courts. Period. But it jeopardizes the international effort as well as the state's entire child support collection and payment system. There it is again in a completely separate article. They're all writing the same narrative. This jeopardizes the international effort, the globalism, as well as the state's entire support collection of payments and payment system. That's because the federal government is threatening to punish the states by pulling all funding to help child support. They're the bad guys. They're the ones that are pulling the money. Idaho is not doing anything wrong. They're willing to do the job, but the federal government's the one with holding money. They're the bad guys here. They're the ones that are refusing to pay for this child support system that the people in Idaho are more than willing to continue with. We're just not going to subject ourselves to foreign law that supersedes and overrides Idaho law. That's the protection of our sovereignty. That's covered in the 10th Amendment, and the legislature does not work for the governor. So take that to the bank, Butch Otter. They don't work for you. They work for us. You can throw your fit. You can call them back into session. But guess what? At the end of the day, they work for us, not you, Governor. It's a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And you forget that. How in the world did we not throw that guy out in the last election? Because the pushers duped the people. You guys all have a blessed week. Stay in the fight. Stay encouraged. You're not alone. You're not the only one who sees this agenda. You're not the only one in the fight. There are many, 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 and more on the way. So you have a blessed week. Until we talk to you again, I have nothing further. This is John Jacob Schmidt. This is the voice of the American Redoubt, defending truth, promoting liberty, and resisting the tyrants. Good night.